Good morning. We're going to look into God's Word this morning. His Word is life. His Word is light. His Word guides us in this dark place. And sometimes Jesus was used very few words. He says to these two fishermen, "Follow me." And perhaps that's what he said to you. Just that simple. Follow me. And that's the title of our series, my series that I'm going to give over the next few weeks. It's called Follow Me. It's a simple, simple phrase. It simply means pick up everything you have, lay down everything you have, and follow me. Today's message is entitled Eyes Fixed, and it's from the book of Hebrews, it's from the 12th chapter, verse 2. And verse 2 opens by saying, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And I want to share this one scripture from Proverbs for you. It says, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. You know, Proverbs gives us so many good advices. And here, in conjunction with fixing your eyes, he's saying, keep your focus, keep your vision straight ahead. And we're going to unpack that a little bit today. But first of all, I want to have you fix your eyes on this. Yeah, what do you see? I'll give you a minute. You know, I get these pop-ups on my phone every now and then, and it says, can you see the dinosaur in this picture? If you have an IQ of over 200, you can do it in 20 seconds. And like 6 or 8 minutes later, I just say, this is not going to happen. So what do you see? And that's a question that God posed to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. Now, we understand the last part. We understand that God watches over his word. But he poses this question to Jeremiah. What do you see? And Jeremiah answers correctly. I see the branch of an almond tree. I see it. And that may seem strange to you, and it seems certainly strange to me. But when you have to unpack that a little bit, the almond tree is the first to blossom. And everybody watches. It usually blossoms in January in the Middle East. And they watch it because they know when it begins to bloom that the other trees will be coming along shortly. But that's the one they watch. They watch that and they keep their eye on it. And God says, what do you see? What do you see? You know, it's easy. Remember when Jesus, in Luke, he's talking to the disciples, and he says, well, who do people say that I am? And they give these answers. You know, well, I think you're Elijah. you may be a prophet. One says they believe you're Jeremiah. Some say you're John the Baptist. And then he says, but who do you think I am? And sometimes it's easier to answer that question. I mean, when we do it, we say, well, yeah, he's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's Jesus of Nazareth. We know who he is, but what's the question? The question is, what do you see? What do you see? See, we'll be going to be talking a little bit over the next couple of weeks about the ways of God. And Alan has given us a great look into that. And we're going to unpack it a little bit more. What do you see? Well, you know what the Pharisees, yeah. Jesus said about the Pharisees, he said, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. See, they saw what he did. They saw that he ate with the sinners. They saw that he had some wine. They saw that he made wine. And the scriptures go on to say, for this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. See, they saw him as a lawbreaker. They saw him as a threat. They didn't see him for who he was. They saw what he was doing. And if we're to understand the ways of God, we have to take a close look at what Jesus did. Not who he was. We know who he was. That's easy. But we have to unpack what he did. See, sometimes, actually, I think I'm going to show this one. This is the one I opened with this morning when Peter sees him. The disciples are on this boat, and the sea's a little rough. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you in the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind. See, this is what Peter saw. He saw the wind. Now, I don't know how he saw the wind. I think he saw the waves and the splashes. And it took his eyes off of where he was headed. And he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Now I'm going to go back to that first slide. See, sometimes what happens is we get distracted by the circumstances of our life, by the situations, by the relationships, by the money, and we no longer fix our eyes. And believe me, that's quite easy. Devil doesn't have to do a lot to get you to take your eyes off of Jesus. All he has to do is bring you a circumstance or a situation. And you're quickly distracted and you see that rather than fixing your eyes. Alan talked about walking in the ways of God. And I particularly like this slide. It means a lot to me because I see this young woman here. She's got a long journey ahead of her. And if you look at the details, she was probably in high heels. And I'm guessing maybe her car broke down or something happened and she's not going to make it with her high heels on. And so she has to take them off. But she says to herself, I've got to go this way, regardless of the shoes that I'm wearing. I'll take them off and I'll walk the rugged road. I'll walk and I'll keep my eyes fixed on the end of the journey. I'll fix my eyes. And that's what Hebrews 12, 2 is saying. Don't take your eyes off. Fix them. Because when you do, as Peter, you'll see the wind and the waves. David, in writing Psalm 25, says, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and for you I wait all the day. Teach me, Lord. Let me fix my eyes on you and see not who you are. I know who you are. Teach me what you have done. Teach me the way. Jeremiah 6 reads, thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see. And you understand that. Stand by the way and see. And ask for the ancient paths. God's path has been ancient. It is there. It is there for us to follow where the good way is and walk in it. And you'll find rest for your souls. See, that rings of Matthew 11, 29. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, and you will find rest. We'll unpack that just a little bit later on. Oh! For my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, not on the highway. See, when Jesus says, I am the way, he says, that's the way I want you to walk. I want you to follow me. I want you to do what I do. I want you to learn from me. Zechariah said, for they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing. They made their hearts like flint so that they could not hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. See, they stopped their ears. They didn't want to walk in the path. They said, my way is the better way. Jeremiah comes back to say, but they said, we will not walk in it. And he said, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. See, there is a way of God, and he wants us to walk in it. He wants us to learn his way. Oh, but we're hampered. Because we're Americans. And Americans, you know what Americans are. Americans are independent. They pick themselves up by their own bootstraps. They even named July 4th a day of independence. We don't have to listen to anybody because we're Americans. And everything about us says independence. Everything about us says, I'll do it my way. Jesus, oh, don't stop your ears. Don't stop your ears up. Take my yoke upon you and learn. You know, I picked the cowboy here. This is a Marlboro man. Okay, for those of you who remember the Marlboro man. He's got that cigarette in his mouth. He's independent. Rides out in the wide open ranges. Doesn't answer to anybody. And that's ingrained in our culture. I'm sorry you were born with that. From the very moment you began to grow up, you were taught, this is the country of independence. You need to be independent. You need to be self-serving. Go into the bookstore. Self helps. That's the way you can do it yourself. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I'll give you an example. Imagine Judah. He's here, so he's up front. He's fair game. He goes out to his mailbox one day and he opens it. And there's an invitation there from a church in East Podunk, New York. It says, would you please come and teach for a week on hearing God's voice? Our congregation is little. It's only 150 people. But we've been praying, and we think you should come. All expenses paid. Bring your wife and your children. We'll pay for it all. We believe that this is what the Lord has said. There's also another letter there. And he opens it. And it's from a church in Hawaii that has 2,000 congregation. And they say, hey, we were praying and we want you to come and teach on hearing the voice of God. All expenses paid. Oceanfront hotel. Bring your wife and your children. But it's the same date as East Podunk. This is a tough decision, isn't it? Hey, we are... We're drawn by our flesh. I think, says Judah, I'm hearing the word of the Lord. We're going to Hawaii. There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is not what you want it to be. Proverbs gives us a little more. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Oh, I am so guilty of that. I'm so guilty of that. Because I justify my own actions. Not that you would ever do that. Because I need to make it clean. We have this My wife and I, she'll know what I'm talking about when, you know. She'll say, do you think we should do that? No. I'll say, no, I don't want to do that. It's because I don't want to. Now, she would never say this to me. I would have to say it to myself. Is that the way of God? Does God want you to respond that way to this situation? I just don't want to do it. And I'm fine with that. Because you know why? I'm independent. I'm self-serving. See, that's the admonition here. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. Wait a minute! That's a salvation. That's a salvation scripture. I've already entered through the narrow gate. Does the gate get a little narrower? Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide that leads and broad that sets you, that has you taking your eyes off of your Savior, off of the one who you've said, oh, I'll follow you. I'll follow you, Lord. I'll follow you wherever you go, except there. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. See, when we transpose that into how I'm walking now, it says, there's a path. There's an ancient path. There's a way that God wants you to walk. What do you see? What did you see Jesus doing? I saw him on the cross. Yeah, that's who he is. He's the Savior. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Lamb of God. But when he walked, did you walk? Are you walking in the way he prescribed? Look intently. See, when that pop-up comes and they say there's a dinosaur there, I go, And when I showed you the picture of the old lady and the young lady that maybe you saw or maybe you didn't see, it required an intentional fixing, an intentional looking. I want to give you an example of that. This is from Mark 8, 23 to 25. And this is when Jesus heals a blind man. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village. And after spitting on his eyes, oh man, and laying his hands on him, he asked, do you see anything? So you ask him what he saw. Same question that was posed to Jeremiah. Same questions that were posed to Amos. Same questions that were posed to Zechariah. What do you see? What do you see? And he responded, I see men. And I see them like trees walking around. See, his vision wasn't quite clear. Now, I don't understand that. Don't ask me to unload this any further than I can, because when Jesus heals, he heals. But in this particular case, the man couldn't see clearly, and the only thing that I can ever derive from this is that there's a lesson for me. That this occurred so that I might learn from it. And I think, well, I'll finish the scripture, and then we'll come back. Then again, Jesus laid his hands on his eyes, and the man looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. See, he looked intently. And sometimes when we fix our eyes, we're not really fixing them. We become casual lookers. Casual. I see clear enough. But the man had to look intently. And that's what we're required to do. That's what God wants us to do. If you're going to walk in the way, you need to look intently, or you'll stumble. You'll go off the path. You've got to fix your eyes on the journey. Fix your eyes on not only who, but what path did he lay out for you? I mean, that reminds me of one of those World War II movies. You ever see one of those where the guys are crossing the minefield? Yeah. And the first guy goes across, and he's got some sort of gadget that detects the mines. And he says to everybody behind him, "Follow me and step exactly where I step." That's what Jesus is saying when he says, "Follow me. Keep your eyes fixed on me. Follow my steps, because I know the way. I know the ancient path, because I am the way." From James, it reads, "But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." See, James tells us, look intently. Look intently at the path. Don't be forgetful hearer. When you leave here today, don't, that was okay, a little confronting. I want you to look intently. I got the idea, sort of like men, trees and stuff. I could see well enough. No, God has things for us. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his ways, his covenant, his law, who he is, what he wants. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his ways, his covenant. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. See, if we keep our eyes fixed and walk in the path that he has told us. Well, sometimes I don't see the path. Lord, follow me. I'll lead you. It's the reason I've given you the Holy Spirit to guide you. Walk in my ways, not in your ways, because your ways you think are right. But they only lead to death. You've got to practice my ways. Deuteronomy tells us, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of the law." See, I can't understand all of God, but he's revealed certain things that I'm to walk in, till I'm to learn about, that I may walk as I saw him walk. What would you say about Jesus? What would you say? What do you see when you see Jesus? And don't tell me who he is. I know who he is. You know who he is. But what are his ways? Well, some of his ways is he would go away and pray all night. That's a way of God. Ooh. J. Jesus would say to the disciples, you guys go ahead. I'm just going to stay here. So one of his ways was to be quiet before his father. He heard everything his father said. He said, I don't do anything unless I hear my father say it. If you're not quiet, if you don't spend quiet time, I mean quiet time, do you learn the way of God? It's what Jesus did. What do you see? Huh. Jesus had compassion. Do you have compassion? That's a way of God. Well, as a result, you will no longer be, as Ephesians 4:14 tells us, you will no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. See, if you're walking in his way, you're not going to be tossed about. It's when we get off into our own way. This is a good way. I like this over here. I'm comfortable. Yeah. This is where I'm comfortable. Don't tell me your ways. Take my yoke and learn. See, we really like the rest part. And I will give you rest. Oh, I'm just resting in the Lord. I'm resting in the Lord. Glory, hallelujah, I'm resting. But wait a minute. Didn't you take his yoke? And when you get his yoke on, what are you supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to learn. Walk in my ways. And I'll give you rest. We just want the rest. Those of you who have kids, I still have a daughter, but when she was little, I would lay on the floor and watch television. We had televisions in those days, okay? Just want you to know that. And I would rest my head like this and be laying out on the floor and watching the television. And she would come along and she would put her hand here while she's laying on that side. So her arm was actually up in the air and she wasn't resting on it. But she was trying to imitate me. This is what Dad does. Now, she made mistakes, but imitators. It's an interesting word. Ephesians 5:1 tells us, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. And to be an imitator, you have to look and see what God is doing. What is God doing? What do you see, Jeremiah? What do you see God doing? I see God sending me to Hawaii. That's what I see. Yeah. All the ways of a man are right in his own eyes. Now, when Israel was going into the promised land, here's something God told them. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. Now let's think about that. Let's bring that back into our culture. Let's bring it back into our way of life. Think about the things that we do, the things that social media tells us to do, the things that television tells us to do, the things that radio tells us to do. You want to be just like me, says Taylor Swift. Just like me. Yeah, I want to be just like Taylor Swift. I just want to be just like. I just want to be just like Judah. He's got everything going. He's perfect. You're safe, Donovan. When you enter the land the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. What do you imitate? Do you imitate God? Are you an imitator of God? Do you do the things that God does?
I can't do no miracles.
Maybe you can. You just haven't walked in the way.
Maybe, well, I can't walk on water.
Maybe you can. But we have strayed, all of us. And you heard Alan talking about the church in general. We've strayed from the path. We've walked in our own way so many times, and God says, I want you to come back. Follow me. I know the way. Walk in it. Don't go your own way. Fix your eyes on me. I know the way. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. Fix your eyes on me. Writing to the Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence as to realize the full assurance of hope unto the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. See, that's the reason we have the Bible. The Bible says, look at these people. Now don't, watch it. David was a murderer, and David was an adulterer. But he had faith, and he walked, and he said, I want to walk in the ways of God, and we all make mistakes. Jacob, he's listed in the Heroes of Faith, chapter 11 of Hebrews. But Jacob deceived his brother. Robbed his brother of his... Well, he didn't really rob him, but he tricked him. But yet he's there as a pillar of faith. And so don't worry about your mistakes. It's time to say, oh, I want to imitate. I want to be an imitator of God. I want to be an imitator of Jesus. I want to do what he did. I want to walk in his ways. I want to learn of him. I want to yoke myself to him. Hebrews 13 says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their contact, imitate their faith. We're to be imitators. We are to be imitators of Jesus Christ, and we are to be imitators of those who have gone before us, who have led us, who've taught us. And the next generation needs to look to you as they walk. How did Alan walk? How did Donovan walk? How did Eli walk? How did they walk? I want to imitate that. They're following Jesus. I want to follow them. I want to imitate them. So, concluding, 1 Timothy 4:15, my admonition to myself as well as to you. And Paul writes to Timothy, take pains with these things. Ow, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Be absorbed in them. Abide in him. Fix your eyes. Follow him. So that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to how you behave, what you do. The second you walk out of here, you're teaching others. This is what Christ is. This is who he is. Look at me. I'm an imitator of Christ. I'm teaching others. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who see you. You know, our theme this year has been built to last. And certainly, as part of the eldership here, we want to build this congregation to last so that when the winds come and the circumstances come and the situations come and the valleys come, you're built to last. You're built to last. I have my eyes fixed. I'm walking in that ancient path. And I'm not going to stray. And if I do stray, I have community. I have community that says, "Ooh, where are you going? Step back. You've stepped off the path." And if we don't learn to do that, if we don't learn to keep everyone on the path in the ancient way, we will not be the church. We'll just be a big club. God has ways. I'm going to unpack this a little bit more next week, because next week we're going to go to boot camp. Ooh, boot camp. It's a title I used in 2013. It's not the same message, but it's the same message. See, we need to be trained. This just doesn't, I got it all. I thought so when I was first saved some 50-some years ago. Man, and I've gone through some training. And you know something? I have a lot of training that the Lord said, "Oh, I've got to train you. Look at you. Look at where you're going." So we're going to talk about boot camp. So brace yourself. We're going to be doing push-ups, sit-ups. We're going to run 10 miles. We'll be ready. Amen. Amen. We have a few things that are going on. I don't know who's announcing them.